Blessings and welcome to Hope, helping other people evolve through spiritual wellness with hope. As always, I am Hope. Today, I have the humble honor and privilege to have my dear sister in Christ and friend joining me here today to tell her story. My dear sister Martha, welcome, my sister.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for joining me today on this podcast, and I know your testimony will bring many to the Lord. So, my dear sister, I would like to start with prayer, and then we'll go into questions. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Father God, we give you the glory and honor for being the head of our lives and the center of all that we do. Lord Jesus, this is your episode. Lord Jesus, we ask that you speak in and through us, dear Heavenly Father, to draw many unto you, not to us, but to you. May you use the words that come out of our mouths to penetrate the hearts of those that need to hear you today. May you use my sister and whatever she has gone through to receive your holy presence to encourage someone today. We surrender this podcast episode to you, dear Heavenly Father. We honor you. We magnify your holy name. And in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
My dear sister, so my first question is, how did you come to know Jesus?
Well, let's start from when I was 7 years old. I'm from Mexico, Tijuana, Mexico. And my mother would used to send me to a catechism, maybe about a quarter of a mile from my house. And there I started receiving the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. She, you know, it's mainly Catholic back then. So my desire was to partake of the communion. And you could not partake communion if you did not have, you did do your first communion. So I worked hard to remember the Lord's Prayer, because it's only a criteria of things that you needed to learn so you can do your first communion. So at the age of eight years old, I did my first communion, and my first experience was with the Lord. I remember when I went to, it was my turn to take the host. And I said to myself, I'm not going to chew on Jesus. I'm just going to swallow him whole so he can sit in my stomach.
Wow.
So when I went and sit, you know, we were just lining up, all the girls with our white dresses. And I remember in the right-hand side, there was a window with, stained window.
Yeah.
And the sun shone so bright that the colors in the sanctuary were really floating around. I was like, is everybody seeing what I'm seeing?
Wow.
And I was like, that was the experience, you know, but you don't say those things because
right.
You believe what you say, you know, you're going to be made fun of. So that was that. But I never really thought of anything else after that. I grew up in teenager years and really didn't follow the Lord at all. You know, you go about, you doing your life, whatever. My mother didn't go to church. My father didn't go to church. Nobody in the family went to church. So it was no for me to go. Only in the holidays, I would go with friends or family or relatives. And that was about it.
Wow.
Then when I was around 19 years old, I was working in a factory, and I had a friend that we were start dating. Sailors from, you know, because it's a border to San Diego.
Okay.
So she met somebody, and she introduced me to somebody else, and I started dating that guy, and he ended up without even breaking up with me, he left with another girl, and he got married. So I was left with them, and my decision then, it was not very good decision. I was thinking just to let loose and do whatever I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Then my friend went to a party that her boyfriend was doing, and she met my husband, the one is, you know, my husband now. But she said, Martha, I said, I met this guy and he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't do drugs, and you don't smoke, you don't do drinking, you don't do any of that stuff. So maybe you should meet him. I said, no, I don't think so. After this breakup, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Then the ship was opened up to bring the families in. And she said, Martha, would you accompany me to go to this? No, I said, I don't think so. I don't want to go. I don't want to meet anybody right now. I'm going through this thing. She said, well, I want you to just give me company. I said, okay. So I decided to go. I was curious. So I went, you know, I saw him from afar and I said, oh, okay. So that day we went out to a date and so we dated for about, he only had left 3 months or 4 months in the service. And in that time, I got to know him. I got to like him. I got, you know, and yeah. His plan was to come to Rhode Island to go to college. And so I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to have fun. He's going to go. He's going to forget about me. There's no coming back or anything. So before he left, he left an engagement ring. And I said, well, it's 3,000 miles away. So if you find somebody over there, let me know. If I have somebody over here, I'll let you know. And I'll send you the ring. So within 2 weeks, he decided to come back. So he drove across country. Now, get this. He drove across country before when he got out of the service.
Uh-huh.
And then he came back to Rhode Island. And after 2 weeks, he drove across country again so we could get married.
Wow.
And I don't think I was ready at that time to be married to anybody because I just had come in from a really bad breakup.
Yeah.
And so with all his stuff, he was in Jack in the Box across the border waiting for me. And I'm crossing the border thinking, how am I going to tell this man that I don't want to marry?
Yeah.
And I was practicing. And when I felt that I had enough strength to say what I needed to say, I start walking towards the car. And right before I got to the car, I heard this authority voice who said to me, this is the man for you.
Wow.
And I said, really, God? Really, Lord? But because it was such a resounding voice and comforting, it was like, okay, well, I couldn't say anything anymore after that. I kept it to myself. I never really said anything to anyone. So I went ahead with the plans and we got married. Okay. And this is like, I'm about in October this year, we'll be 43 years marriage.
Wow, praise God.
Yes, praise God. It keeps us alive and together.
Yes.
So, you know, during that time, I was not seeking the Lord or doing anything to say, I'm going to come back to the Lord. Nothing. I will go to, then again, to the Catholic Church on the holidays only.
Yeah.
And what changed for me, it was that I come from a family of 12, eight boys, four sisters.
Yeah.
The two young sisters, they were into a new age class.
Right.
And I remember my sister calling me one time and saying, Martha, he said, oh, and this is in 1999, by the way.
Okay.
And at the beginning of 1999, and she was just saying, Martha, I would like you to, if I have your permission to tell you something. I said, sure. She would start putting me down. I think you this, I think you that.
Oh, wow.
And it was going down and down. And my sister, who I'm very close to, putting me down that way, it was very hurtful. And I remember crying that day. My husband came over and said, what's going on with you? I said, well, I was talking to Ruth and she's changed. I don't know what's going on. So I decided to gather some money and go to California, go to Mexico and see what they were into. So I took the class for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that week, you're supposed to meet with one of the leaders there. They make you do crazy stuff, but at the end, you know, they pump you up so high that you're in that cosmos somewhere. And so I couldn't come back home that way. I remember saying to myself, I cannot go home and present myself to my family this way. So I need to stay again for another week. So I asked my brother, he provided the finances for me to stay. And I stayed, and at the end of that week, right before I was gonna talk to one of the leaders, I was waiting by myself in the lunch area. And I heard a voice saying to me, "They're not gonna finish you, I am."
My Lord.
And I said, "What?"
So wow.
At that point, I knew that I couldn't stay, that I need to go home. But during that time that I was there, let's back up, you know, like the last week, somewhere in the middle of that week, I was in my brother's house. There's two houses. And this is where my testimony begins. This is 1999. We're talking about in August of 1999.
Mm-hmm.
In my mother's house, there's a lot with two houses, and what divides them is like a hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had come home from the meeting, and my mother and I were sitting down in the kitchen, and I could hear music because my brother Moses is a musician, guitarist. Mm-hmm. And I could hear music, and I said, "Mom, what's going on in the backyard?" He said, "Well, it's your brother Moses with his son Isaac playing unto the Lord." I said,
"Wow."
Really? I said, "Well, I want to go hear. Well, I want to listen." So I got up and went in the back, and I sit down in the edge of the house, which in the other side of the house, there was another lady sitting down, which is my brother Moses, his wife's aunt, Malina.
Uh-huh.
And she was sitting down, and she started talking to me. And she was saying to me, "Martha, I just want to know where my son is. I want to know whether my son is in heaven or in hell. He was shot and killed." And I never heard anybody talk about the Holy Spirit the way this lady was.
Yeah.
And she said, "I pray to the Holy Spirit to reveal to me where my son is, whether he is in heaven or in hell." And she was going on and on about it. And she held my hand, and she was looking right in my eye. And I was just looking in her eyes, and I could see in the corner of my eyes Jesus with her son.
Wow. Oh, Jesus.
He was kneeling down, and Jesus had his hand on his shoulder. And Jesus was telling me, without even opening his mouth, "Tell her he's with me."
Amen.
"Tell her he's with me." And the voice getting louder, "Tell her he's with me." And I said, "Oh, you don't have to worry about anything. Your son is with Jesus." And she said, "How do you know?" "Because I could see him." And I described the same thing. And I said, "He's just with him." And she said, "Really?" She said, "Yes." Oh, so when, you know, after all of that was sitting down, I went to lay down thinking, "Oh my goodness, I am in trouble with my Creator."
Wow.
In trouble. Who do I think I am to speak in God's behalf? That could not leave my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, "Oh my goodness, what is this?" So right after that, I came to Rhode Island, and that could not leave me, even if I wanted to, and it still this day would not leave me, because it was such a profound, it was the flesh involved with a divine encounter.
Yes.
And so, and I could cry about it, but anyway,
I feel that too. I absolutely feel that as well.
Wow.
And I think this is so amazing, so people can understand that even when we're not seeking the Lord wholeheartedly, He's still after us. Wow. He still loves us, and He still wants to use us.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead with your story.
Then I came to Rhode Island with that in my mind and that in my heart. And I said, "Well, I need to find out," because I had two brothers that are born again Christian. There was Raul and Pablo Paul, who used to, you know, give me a hard time. "Come on, sister, let's talk about Jesus." And, "No, you stay with your Jesus, and I'll stay with my Jesus, and we both be back."
Yeah. That's a lot of people, though. A lot of people say that, right?
Right.
You know, you have your religion, I'll have mine, I'm fine. But
right.
We know the truth, right? Keep going.
Oh, jeez, my goodness, God was going to reveal that to me. But I remember talking to I called my brother Paul, and I said, "Well, what do you believe? Why is it that you being born again, and why is it, you know, Catholics don't talk about that, and why? I had a lot of questions. We talked maybe about 2 hours.
Wow.
He said, Martha, you need to find a church that is biblically sound, so you can be, you know, you're seeking God, and He's gonna give you spiritual milk. You need to be taught in the Word of God.
Yes.
And you need to find out a Pentecostal church, and that's all he was, you know, explaining to me. And I find a church not far from my house, maybe about not even 4 minutes from my house, that I start going. And I remember I had my son Noah with me. He was little. And I brought him, I remember we were in this, it was worship going on, and I took him to the nursery, and then I came back. As soon as I sat down, I start crying without thinking, why am I crying? And the pastor's wife just, you know, came, you know, gently next to me. She said, what's going on? Is there anything I can help you with? I said, I don't know what I'm crying. I have no reason to cry. I just cried. She said, honey, you've been touched by the Holy Spirit. I don't know.
Hallelujah.
So that was my, you know, I beginning to start having these things happening to me. And, you know, I talked to, it was a Pentecostal Apostolic Church. And I wanted to get baptized. And this, you know, I was starting to grow more in love with Jesus. And I wanted to get baptized, and they're going to baptize me with Jesus only name. And I told my brother and said, no, you cannot. You do not want to be baptized in Jesus' name only. You want to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I said, okay, all right. So I need to start looking again for another church. So I went to the directory, phone directory, and I looked. I had three churches. In the first church, it was Glad Tidings, maybe about 20 minutes from my house. And I remember calling the pastor and asking him for his credentials.
Wow.
Oh my, I was bold enough to ask.
That's bold.
Yeah, it's bold. Because I'm thinking, if I'm going to bring my family, I want it to be a place where they can grow and they can mature and grow in Christ.
Amen.
And so I remember him say, oh, I did this and I did that. And but one of the things that really caught my attention is the way he prayed for me afterwards.
Yeah.
Never heard anybody pray the way he prayed. And I was very curious. And I said to my husband, well, I want to go to this church because I want to find out about this. And he knew that I was, something changed about me when I was in Mexico.
Right.
He just couldn't, he didn't know what it was. But I said, I'm going to go to this church. I would like you to come with me. He said, no, thank you. Church. But then when I was going to the other church, and I said, well, I need to, well, the first time that I was going to go, everybody got sick. But
oh wow!
But my, I think I was by myself that I go, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord very, very strongly there. In the following Sunday, I said to my husband, "I need you to come with me, because I want them to know that I have a husband,
right?
That I'm not alone. And if you don't want to come back again ever, it is fine with me. But I want them to know that you exist." And that was that. And so the Sunday came, and I was getting ready to go. I just left it open to see whatever he decided to do.
Right.
Then he started getting ready, and he said, I'm coming with you, and don't you think that I'm going to come again. I'll just go in this time, and that's it. Oh, okay. But when we were there, the Spirit of the Lord was so powerful. He was crying.
My Lord.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's okay. If he doesn't want to come back again, that's fine. So the following Sunday, he said the same thing. You don't think that I'm going to come back again, but I'm just going to go this one more time.
Look at Jesus.
And before you knew it, we were into the church.
Praise God.
He didn't ever stop going to the church after that. Then... oh my goodness, this is when the Lord just began to manifest himself much more powerfully within me. I was curious because we were meeting in the auditorium of the Barreville Middle School.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a stadium, you know, you go down a little bit of the stage and, you know, the seats in the back.
Yeah.
And I was just peeking us in a friend, a sister in the Lord said, oh, you can come in. I said, no, that's for the leaders. No, that's for everybody. Really? She said, no, you can't come in. So she grabbed me, she said, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
So it was a circle of all the believers that were there, the leaders and some people that they were running, right? And I was standing in a circle and I heard a voice saying, tell them to hold hands.
Yeah.
And I said, oh my, I need to be quiet. I'm not going to tell everybody to hold hands. And then the voice was a little louder. Tell them to hold hands. By this time, my legs were shaking. My heart was pounding. And I'm thinking, oh no, I cannot say that. Absolutely not. Then wow. The voice for the third time, he came, tell them to hold hands. Oh my gosh, I was crying. Oh, the Lord said once, want you to hold hands. I had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
So everybody started holding hands. I had no idea what I was, what's next.
Yeah.
So then the Lord opened my mouth to start saying, the Lord hear your prayers. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now get this, I did not know scripture at that time.
Yeah.
Because Catholics are not, you know, they did not teach me back then the word of God.
But right.
Whatever they, you know, the services, that's all you know. And so I just began to utter other things that I didn't even know what I was saying. And then after that, you know, the lady who brought me into the sanctuary.
Yeah.
She said, how you doing? I said, I have no idea what I did. I have no idea what happened. Well, she became my mentor.
Okay.
She took me under her wing to start teaching me the word of God more intense. It was very intense. We were meeting at her house more often. She was doing teachings on, you know, other people will come, and it was very powerful.
Praise God.
Then the other thing that happened to me right there in the circle, I remember, and as I got there, everybody was there, and there was one spot open, and they have a little paper in their hands. And I got there thinking, the leader's gonna give me a paper. And she didn't, and I was like, okay, Lord, why don't I get a paper? And they all have. So then they start praying. The person right next to me began to pray. And it was the Lord's prayer breaking down in little pieces of paper.
Okay.
And everybody started praying on whatever they had on the paper. By the Lord of fathers, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. By the third person, I knew it was the Lord's prayer. And I began weeping because that is my favorite prayer.
Amen.
That's the prayer that my mother used to say. If you ever have a dream that is so real to you, you say this prayer.
Amen.
If you're afraid, you say this prayer. No matter where you are, you say this prayer. So I started weeping. And the Lord said to me, did you remember this prayer? I said, yes. Mm-hmm. I was there. Then the Lord would take me to the place that was so afraid. And he will say to me in such a gentle, loving voice, would say, I was there.
Amen.
Then the next person would say that. We would pray. And the Lord said, did you remember this time? Yes, Lord. I was there. And there was a coil who started to surround me from the bottom of my feet, circle me like a fire. It was like sparkling, you know, one of those little lights that you spark in 4th of July that it all sparkled.
Yes.
It was like that coil. It was like sparkling like that. It was coiling me from the bottom of my feet. Every time somebody read a different part of that, the Lord's Prayer, that coil began to go up my body and engulf me. Such a heated, I was in a cocoon. I was end up in a cocoon of heat that it doesn't burn.
Yes.
Similar to the burning bush.
Yeah.
And I was in the Lord's arms. And I felt love that I never experienced in my life ever before.
Wow.
And you know, like, you know Cinderella, she transformed into another, you know, in a gown.
Yes.
But I was engulfed in God's love, in God's arms.
That's beautiful.
And never, ever did I forget that. And I couldn't tell that story without crying, let me tell you.
Yeah.
The Lord just began to love me. And then I remember another time that really stood out to me is when I was reading the Word of God. I wasn't understanding it. And I remember, I don't know if you know Charles Stanley.
Yes, everybody knows Charles Stanley.
At the beginning of that, I'm talking about early 2000s, and I want to say 2001, 2002, all these things are happening.
Yeah.
And Charles Stanley said, the giants and cries wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray.
Yeah.
I start laughing. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, who's going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray?
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh yeah, right. And the Lord said to me, you are.
Amen.
What? You are, oh my Lord, 4 o'clock in the morning. I could get up 4 o'clock in the morning to exercise, but to pray, it was another. It didn't happen right away. I could get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I remember it, the Lord said, if you want to get to know me, you need to read my word.
Amen.
And it took me maybe about a year and a half and just to give up the exercise that I was doing every morning and to open the Bible and start reading it. And I remember opening, of course, the Genesis, because I was going to go through the whole Bible in 1 year.
Right.
Well, I opened the book and it's almost like I would enter the scene that I was reading. And it was like I could, because I was reading, I was doing the Our Daily Bread. I was guiding, mm-hmm. I was going through the Bible with Our Daily Bread. And every time I open in the Old Testament where Jesus was with a crowd and where Jesus in this town and he transferred himself from one place to another and all these things are happening and I'm in the middle of the scene looking at everybody around me.
Yeah.
It's a three-dimensional reading. I'm not a good reader and I'm not afraid to confess that because I'm not.
Yeah.
But when I was reading the Word of God, it was coming alive right in front of my eye, up in front of me.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow. It's almost like he sealed me for a whole year.
Amen.
To reveal the whole plan. Who he was. Who he really was. How the Old Testament intertwines with the New Testament.
Yes.
And how everything has a purpose. That the New Testament is the foreshadow of the Old Testament.
Right.
And it was like, wow. The understanding that I got from it was amazing. And never has that. And ever since then, I was never the same. Ever.
Amen.
Until this day, well, you know, because we have gone together and you know how the Lord has used me with us ourselves too, because.
Yes.
You know, you cannot make this up.
Those are Amen.
God does that when he brings somebody in your life and you just don't know God how he's going to move.
Amen.
To bring a message, to bring a comfort or you know, and I thank you for the scriptures because they have blessed me
greatly. Glory to God.
Greatly. And you know, because we talk about, I don't know if you want to.
Yes, we do. And it is so amazing. So I'm going to tell a little bit of how we met. I was invited to Martha's Church by another friend of ours, Natalie. And the first person that greeted me just kind of looked at me and they were hugging other people. But then I walked to the third person in the church, which was Martha. And she just embraced me. You just embraced me. And you did something that you probably had no idea what it did for me in that very moment. Now I want to cry. and that was just so beautiful. The love that Martha gave me, the love that you gave me that day is the love that I know Jesus has for me.
Amen.
And that really touched me. And I never forget that. I will never, ever, 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 ever forget that. And then we went out to eat together. And again, Martha is a prophet. She is a prophet. This is why God speaks to her. So those that are listening, if you don't understand all of the things that Martha just spoke of and what transpired, that's what God does when he uses people and speaks through people. They can be a prophet in birthright or a prophet at the moment where God will give a word for you to speak to someone. And that's Martha. She is a prophetess. And she spoke into my life, and I will never forget it. And it's still to this day coming back. And this happened September of last year.
Yeah. That's when we exchanged numbers, remember?
Yes. We exchanged numbers. And I the church is an hour and a half away from where I live. And I drove all the way there.
Oh, my gosh.
Because God wanted me to be there. God wanted me to meet Martha. God wanted Martha to speak into my life because of things I was going through.
Yeah.
And that was such a blessing. And I will never forget that. And this is why I call her the dear one. God gives me names for people. And Martha is the dear one to me. And that's because of what God did through her and continues to do through her. As she said, I sent scripture to her. And it's not my scripture. It's whatever God does for that day, whatever word he has for that day. And it touches certain people at a certain season in their lives. And I'm grateful to be used that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Martha and I met. And we stay connected. Not just because of fleshly things, but because the spirit has us connected.
Yes.
And for those listening that don't totally get it yet, you will keep listening, okay? Because you will get it, because you're not here listening to this podcast by chance. There's no coincidence in Jesus.
Oh, amen.
And if you don't know Jesus yet, he's chasing you, and that's why you're listening to this. That's why the story that Martha is telling is not just a story, it's her testimony. It's what she lived through. It's what God has done in and through her, and he wants to do the same for you, brothers and sisters that are listening to this podcast now all over the world. So continue to listen to what we're saying and what Martha has to tell you, because she is a blessing. And there's other things that have happened and transpired between us through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So I don't know if there's something else you want to share about that, but let's keep flowing in the spirit because he is touching somebody.
So, you know, because of the scriptures that you send me every day, and I was in a transition of churches. Our pastor retired and he called somebody else to come in our church. And so I was asking the Lord to reveal to me whether I should stay or should I leave. And there's a lot of things that happen, but the most important thing is that I wanted to hear from him.
Amen.
From him, what my cause of action should be. And so at one point I said, Lord, yeah, he was giving me dreams and visions, and you know, I was at one point he gave me a dream. I was in my living room laying down, and there was a man sitting down by the side of the chair.
Yeah.
And he had a green jacket, and he had his hand intertwined with mine. And his profile, it was that of Abraham Lincoln.
Jesus.
And I said, turn around. I want to see your face. It was like, now get this. My husband has just left for work, and I just went to bed. And all of a sudden, I'm in my living room, laying down, asleep. And this, I got woken up by this man who's holding my hand really tight. And I said, turn around, I want to see your face. And he turns around and his face is blurry. I don't see the face. I only see the head move.
Yeah.
But I just said, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And then I woke up. And so it was on a Sunday morning. Then on a Monday, I was watching a show after I came back from work. I was watching a show about could it be a miracle?
Yeah.
And in this one, there was a true stories about miracles that happened to people.
Yep.
In this story, this couple lived in the middle of nowhere in Arizona, and the lady was having a baby, and you know, the husband sent his brother to go get the doctor, and he said the doctor's not going to be here for 2-3 days. So he said, well, go get the midwife. So he leaves and another lady comes and knocks on the door, comes in and helps the lady to deliver the baby. And she says to him, well, to them, can you please name the baby Abraham? And I was like, oh, the name Abraham on Sunday in my dream. And so that was that. That was a Monday. And yeah. maybe I have three children. There, my daughter has a daughter, my son has two boys, and my youngest son, just another miracle, he have any children, maybe I can call him up and tell me, if you have a child, can you, and if there's a boy, can you name him Abraham? All this is happening for that reason, I don't know. So that same week, on a Friday, we have prayer, and I went to prayer, and the gentleman who does the communion start praying about Abraham. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm hearing Abraham again. So that caught my attention. I shared the dream, the vision dream that I had. I call them vision dreams because you awake and you're not asleep totally, and you're not
right.
So you can, I call them vision dreams.
Amen.
And so I was just saying, oh, I'm hearing the name again.
Yeah.
And I decided to share that vision dream with them. And so I said, you know what, the Lord has said to me a while, you know, at the beginning of my talk, when I give you in the dark, say it in the daylight. So, and it's say it before it happens, so when it does happen, you're going to know it's me and not you.
Amen.
And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to share this dream. Amen. So, and then the following, that was a Friday, and a Saturday night we get together with another group of people in their house for prayer. And that night, the lady of the house starts sharing about Abraham. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, here again, the fourth time I'm listening to Abraham again. And share with them the vision ring. Then on a Sunday, I go to church. Mm-hmm. And the pastor was pacing back and forth before service. And he started, Abraham this, and Abraham that, and Abraham this. And oh my gosh, I lost count of how many times I have heard this name Abraham that week. Usually the Lord, when he tells me something, it takes years to come
right.
But this was very quickly happening.
Yeah.
So the following week, I began to pray more. I said, okay, Lord, you're going to speak to me.
Amen.
Life of Abraham through the preachings. I'll go to work and I put my earphones, and I listen to preachings to see what God wants me to do.
Yes.
And I've been praying, Lord, where do you want me? And I went listening, well, why Abraham? Why? I understand that it was not about Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
Because I knew Abraham Lincoln, I was going to come up with the name Abraham.
Right.
But it was more divine than Abraham Lincoln, of course. We understand that.
Right.
When we came to the realization that there's more to this dream, this vision dream, that I cared to know, I said, God, I know you're going to speak to me, but I wasn't, at that time, I did not know what he was going to say to me.
Right.
Until you sent me the scripture of Joshua 1:9.
Jesus.
Remember, was it a Friday or Thursday? I don't remember. I knew it was like...
It was a Friday. It was a Friday. Mm-hmm, I remember. Because I had that day off.
Well, yeah. But, amazing, because you said that you don't have that day off. You
know? Yes. Yes.
And I was like, oh, I got to talk to this woman. I got to talk to her right now. And I remember texting you, say, I want to talk to you right now. Like, right now. And, oh my gosh, because it says, haven't I commended you? Do not be afraid, be courageous.
Yeah.
And I will be with you wherever you go. Something like, I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
It burned in my heart so, and I knew that was the answer to my prayer.
Amen.
And that I wanted to talk to you. And that I wanted to tell you, thank you so much. I just wanted to thank you for scriptures because they have blessed me. But in the middle of, oh, you're sending me all these scriptures, although they bless me greatly, all of them.
Yeah.
This particular, it's almost like it seals something in my heart.
Amen. Oh, Jesus.
Not you know, and I don't memorize scripture just like that fast. And I cannot memorize that scripture.
Amen.
And when you, and I knew that God was calling me, because what he told me in that, in the preachings about Abraham, God took Abraham out of his land.
Yes.
Into unknown land. Okay, this is the key right here, to an unknown land.
Yes.
So, because I was asking, should I stay or should I go from this church?
Right.
The decision was, you need to leave. But leave, not only from this church, from all churches.
Yeah.
All of them. And I'm thinking, really?
Yeah.
Really? And so when we got talking, you began to cry. And I'm thinking, oh, what did I do? What have I done?
Yeah, that was a powerful day.
Yes, because now I'm interested to see why you're crying.
Yeah.
And because, okay, go ahead. Because I know they're so parallel to each other. It's just amazing. You cannot make this up. You cannot make this up. Because it's only God who does these things.
Amen. Amen.
You tell a part.
So my part, when we spoke and you started telling me about Abraham and him holding your hand and you seeing the big throne.
And I got this, remember? Yes.
Yes. And
I got you.
You didn't know
no.
that I had been praying, and God gave me a vision, and I was at his feet. And what I saw in the vision was the same thing, a big throne, kind of like the Abraham Lincoln statue. And he spoke Abraham to me as well. And as I was praying and saw that, I could just see how big in grandeur our God was. And when you started speaking, that's what made me cry, because it gave me revelation as to what that vision meant. And then our spirits, the Holy Spirit, just connected us in a way that, like you said, we can't even make this up.
No.
If we wanted to. If we were the best writers in the whole world, we could not make this up.
I was on a high that day.
Oh, my goodness. And so was I. And the fact that I had that day off, I rarely get days off. I own my own daycare. I rarely get days off. But that day, that scripture, just everything, God aligned everything. And it was so miraculous. And I pray that the brothers and sisters listening to this will understand the magnitude of the Holy Spirit and how he connects us when we're seeking him, when we're in tune with what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing. He just moves everything according to the way that he sees fit. And that was just the most amazing thing. And not to mention that you said the guy, Abraham, in your vision dream had on green.
Yeah.
And green is my favorite color. So it's just the way God just said, okay, I'm talking
details.
To you. Yes. The details he is into. And always God says to me, especially when I'm going through things, I got you. And when those words came out of your mouth, that the Holy Spirit said, I got you. I knew that was for me. In what the Lord sent you that morning in the scripture, it was also for me. It was for our spirits to connect so that we can do what he has called us to do and not be afraid. Because about 2 years ago now, maybe a year or two ago, he took me out of the church home I was in and said, yeah, no church for you either. And we're not saying that people should leave their churches. That's not what we're saying.
Right.
So brothers and sisters, don't get it twisted. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is we heard the Holy Spirit speak.
Directly.
And we were obedient to what he is saying for us.
Individually.
For our lives.
Individually.
Individually, exactly. So we just sharing this part so that you can understand how the Holy Spirit speaks, so that you don't miss it. So that you don't miss it. And again, we're not saying me, Hope, and my sister Martha, we are not saying leave your church. We're saying be attentive and pay attention to what the Holy Spirit says to you, because he will confirm things.
Mm-hmm.
So we just want to make sure that that's clear.
Right.
Yes. So, oh, glory to God. And there's been so many more And we could stay here all day. Martha and I could stay here all day telling you the testimonies and the connection of the Holy Spirit between the two of us.
It got better.
It's so much. And in a short time, like Martha said, it may take years for certain things, but this has happened in such a short time.
Yes.
And we're just grateful. And even the fact that we're on this podcast together, that was the Holy Spirit.
Oh, can I share with you?
Please share.
Thursday, I was listening to John Paul Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I heard his, I love to listen to him, but I think the only thing that stood up to me is he says, the Lord just wants you to, for your feet to move.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And right away it came to my mind. And I said, Lord, am I holding back? And so that's exactly when I send you the text and I said, okay, I'm ready to do this podcast.
Amen.
And so,
amen.
And you know what? We can say, like you said, talking so much about this. And yes, I don't expect anybody to understand why the Lord pulled me out of the church.
Right.
Because I know he has a plan and a purpose. And I would never say to anyone, like you just said, sister, to do the same.
Right.
You have to have the Holy Spirit talking to you and confirm it.
Yes.
The Lord will confirm what he has spoken to you.
Amen.
Later on, it might take months, years, but he will confirm it.
Amen.
And you will know that it's him speaking to you.
Amen. Amen. And when he does, it doesn't stop. It's just the beginning of where he's taking us.
Yes.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is amazing. I am so grateful that you listen to the Spirit and that we're doing this podcast, because I know that somebody is going through what we've gone through.
Yes.
And God will speak through this podcast. So I am so grateful for that. There's something else I want you to talk about real quick, because there are people out here that don't believe in the healing of Jesus Christ. Mm. and what he does when we walk in that truth, that by his stripes we are healed. So if you could talk about your heart attacks.
Oh, wow. Okay. 2015, that was my first heart attack. And at that time, I have gone to, there was a prophet who came from Australia, and he was, I'm just going to shorten it up, but I went to a seminar that he gave on vision, mental pictures, mm-hmm. and I was there, and it was intense. Oh my goodness, it was very intense. The things that were happening there were just amazing. I mean, this man can just sing in tongues, and people would just drop.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, he will with his finger, he will call you to him. He did that to me. And I remember walking towards him, and then boom, I just fell on the ground. He didn't even touch me.
Yeah.
And what is this? But anyway, towards the end of that seminar, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, it's just, I don't know what, I could say so much about that. I remember, at the end, there was a gentleman there that he allowed him to be there. And this is like, for those who don't understand the spiritual realm, is very, very powerful.
Yes.
I remember the Lord said, do not let that man touch you. There was a gentleman that the leader allowed him to be there. He was just born again Christian. He was just a baby in the Lord. And he came out of drug addiction, all kinds of things. And we were talking, and he came, and towards the end he came, and the Lord said to me, do not let him hug you.
Right.
And we were in a circle, and I just could not avoid him, and I felt bad, like, reject him, because he was looking for me, and he ended up hugging me, and I felt kind of like, ooh, I shouldn't have done that, Lord, please don't. And I know God is not gonna, you know, make me feel bad just because of that happened. It was just very quickly,
right,
left. It was ended on a Saturday, and on a Sunday I went to church, and there was a lady there, an intercessor. Well, there, and there was my friend Wendy, who was asking me, we're in the sanctuary and the church is about to start, and she was asking me, Martha, so how was the seminar, blah blah blah. I said, oh my gosh, it was amazing. I was just telling her, you know, the highlights and all of that. And as I was talking to her, I saw a black ball coming towards my chest with a dagger behind it.
Wow.
In my heart, and I went, I held my chest and I said, oh my, the enemy is attacking me. And she said, really? I said, yeah. But then the service, well, the pastor was already enough people to take their places.
Right.
I said, where's Judy? Where's Judy? And she's an intercessor there.
Mm-hmm.
Judy, I said, Lord, send her to me. Send her to me. I want her to come and pray for me. And so I went to the bathroom just to compose myself because the impact was very strong. And I started rebuking the enemy, you know, weapon for my guest will prosper. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I am the head, not the tail. I'm a body.
Amen.
I'm just like claiming all these things for me.
Yes.
There was a knocking on the door, and I don't want to pay attention. I said, because I'm in intercession. And so there's some second knocking. I said, well, I'm going to have to open the door. So I opened the doors, and my legs are like rubber.
Yeah.
It was Judy, the one that I asked. The
my Lord. Jesus.
And she's like, oh my God, what's going on? I said, she said, let me bring you a chair. So she goes and gets a chair. And she let me sit down. And I said, what's going on? I said, I've been attacked by the enemy. I just, and I told what happened. And they both, and the other lady, the service is starting. And now they interceding for me.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm going to the bathroom. You need to tell me, you need to ask the Lord what happened. I said, well, you know, I told what happened about the gentleman who hugged me.
Yeah.
Oh, I rebuked the enemy and blah, blah, blah. And that's it. I go to serve, you know, I got up and I like nothing happened to me.
Yeah.
So I went and worshiped the Lord.
Amen.
I got out of there, by my, went for breakfast. I left there for breakfast. I was fine. I went, as soon as I entered 295, my hands and my legs felt like lead.
Wow.
I was in the highway trying to say, no way, you are not, no weapon for my eye.
That's right.
To the highways, I was going 80 miles an hour. I was trying to hurry home.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was in trouble. I got home and I could feel not good. My legs and my they were feel like lead.
Yeah.
So I said, no, this is going to go away. I'm going to go lay down. This is going to go away. And blame and Jesus. Well, it's not going away. So I'm not starting to get concerned. And I called my son and his girlfriends. And so I said, I'm going to call 911, and then I'm going to call you. So I called my son, called 911, and I called my husband.
Mm-hmm.
So the ambulance came. I let make sure that I left the door open. Came in and took me to the hospital. And apparently I was having a heart attack. The heart attack never entered my mind.
Right.
Ever. So when I was there, they put me in the ICU, and they were going to go to the groin to go to see if I had blockages in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And this nurse, she was like, do you believe in the divine? I said, honey, I believe in the divine very much.
Jesus.
I do, honey. She said, we're going to be praying for you when you go to have this, you know, we're praying. So when I came back, oh, we prayed that, you know, that you would not get any blockages. And you have any blockages? I said, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
The people that I, you know, interceded for me in that church, they came to visit. Martha, what's going on? I said, I don't know. They could not find any blockages. They don't know what's going on with me. Nothing.
Amen.
And ever since then, you know, I have other heart attacks, and they still can't find anything. They think that I have like myocardial bridge that is it's very tiny, that it compresses a vein, and so that, but then it doesn't feel like they know for what's happening to me, but I know what's happening.
Because it's spiritual.
It's spiritual, but you know, trying to get away with it. But you know what? The Lord has blessed me through all of that. And my goodness. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. All glory to God.
Amen. Yeah.
The enemy does think he can try to take us out, but when we stay grounded in the Lord, he always protects us because his word doesn't return void. His word says, by his stripes, we are healed. That means it's done.
Yeah.
Even though we may see and feel attacks, it's done because he has his hand on us. And that's a powerful testimony.
Yes. Yes.
And again, I just want to say to people, we're not saying don't go to the doctors. We're not saying that there aren't things that will come against you. What we are saying is we serve a mighty God that can overcome anything, because he said in John 16:33 that we will have trials, we will have tribulations, but to take heart, and that we can trust him because he has overcome the world. So we just want to make sure that you're grounded in the word as you're listening to us speak about these things. And again, we could speak for days, because we have testimonies that will last for days and years. But we want you to be focused on the key of the matter is our Jesus,
right,
our Lord, and how he has followed Martha, how he has followed me, and how he has touched our lives. And if you think back in your own life, brothers and sisters, you will see that God has touched you as well. Even though it may be hard, even though you may not know where your next meal comes from, if you put your trust in him, he will provide. He is the provider. If you put your trust in him, he will heal, because he's the healer. If you put your trust in him, he will never leave you nor forsake you. As you've heard Martha's story, that he has been after her even when she wasn't after him. And that's how he feels about you, brothers and sisters. He is after you. He's after your heart. He wants to heal you. He wants you to forgive so that he can move forward in your life. So please listen to the words that are saying, the words behind the words. Yes, Martha and I are human, but we believe in the supernatural. And the supernatural is natural to us, because that's the word of God. He wants to get the glory. And in hurting us will not give him the glory. Jeremiah 29:11 says that I didn't come to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. And this is why God has connected us, Martha and I, and you, brothers and sisters. This connection means you're a part of the family. All you have to do is choose Jesus. All you have to do is confess your sins. All you have to do, like Martha said in the beginning, don't go to a church that just wants to baptize you in the name of Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with the name of Jesus. But the word of God says that you are to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So if there's a church that does not baptize you in that, leave that church. Again, we're not telling you to leave churches, but if the church is not teaching you sound doctrine, you're going to hurt along with the pastors. So I wanted to just get that out and make sure you brothers and sisters understand what's going on and what we're talking about right now.
Can I say something small?
Yes. Yeah. Nothing small in the Lord, my sister.
Well, just short. Just know that when Jesus was in the crowd,
mm-hmm.
woman who crawled to get
yes.
and touch the utter edge of
Jesus.
And he turned around that his power left him.
Yeah.
In her faith, healed. That's exactly what God wants us to have. Faith Amen. And trust that he will heal us, because her desire was so strong for him to
Amen.
Heal. Because, you know, he was making a lot of noise.
Yeah.
A lot of healings going on.
Yeah.
People wanted to, you know, swarm around him because he was God on earth.
Amen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, if you don't know the story that my sister is speaking of, she's speaking of the woman with the issue of blood that was bleeding for 12 years. And she didn't know Jesus, but she heard of Jesus. She heard of his healings and his powers. And he was going to go and take care of Jairus' daughter in the Bible. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his clothes, if I can just touch the hem of his robe, I know I will be healed. And there was a big crowd pushing. So he was being pushed by everybody. He was being physically touched by everybody there. But she got to him and she just touched the hem of his robe and she was healed. But not just that. Jesus knew that happened because it left his body, the power.
Yes.
Left his body and healed her. And then he turned to her. He's turned in the crowd. He's like, who touched me? Mm-hmm. And his disciples are like, master, teacher, there's a lot of people. Everybody's touching you. What do you mean who touched you? And he's like, no, somebody touched me because power left my body.
Right.
And that's the story of the woman with the issue of blood, bleeding for 12 years, spent all her money on doctors. You can look it up in the Bible. We're not making this up.
Right.
I believe it's in Matthew. Mm-hmm. And not just that, I lived that. And I don't think I've ever told Martha that story, but I lived that. Oof. And on 2012, numbers are also powerful in the Bible. On 2012, God did the same thing for me he did for her. So the things that happened in the Bible still happen today.
You can't make this up.
You can't. We can't. You know, they couldn't understand why I was still alive. I had lost so much blood. And after seven, again, numbers are important. After seven blood transfusions, wow, they couldn't stop the bleeding.
Wow.
But I said to God, I said, what you did for her in that Bible, when she touched the hem of your robe, I just need to touch the hem of your robe. Yep. And he said, he told me to do something. I did it. And as soon as I did it, the bleeding stopped.
Oh, praise you, Lord.
God is faithful. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is so faithful. Just be obedient, sisters and brothers. Just seek ye the kingdom first, and all things are added. Now, Martha and I are not saying that our lives are perfect, but no, they're perfect in the spirit. And we walk with confidence. We walk knowing that our God, Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, covers us, but not just us. He covers our children. He covers our grandchildren. He covers our great-grandchildren, even those that are not here yet. He has covered it because that's what his word says. And that's why we're here today, spreading his truth, spreading the truth that happened in Martha's life, spreading the truth that happened in my life, and the connection that he made between my sister and myself, because he loves us that much to let us know we're not alone.
Yes, Lord.
That's why we're here, brothers and sisters, to let you know you're not alone. Just choose Jesus today. Repent of your sins. Turn away from the wickedness and grab hold of Jesus Christ, because he died for you. He died for us. He wants you to go to him, yes, knowing that he loves you. He loves you. That's why we're here today. That's why we're giving this testimony. That's why he's connected Martha and myself together, so that we can build your faith, so that you can hear what she went through. Even when she wasn't looking for Jesus, he was looking for her. So brothers and sisters, we thank you for listening to us. Martha, is there anything else you want to say to encourage the listeners today before we wrap up?
Just know that it's a God who seeks your heart and your mind to conform it to his. And it's true. It's you know, when you come to him, he will make your life so much happier.
Yes.
Yes, it's tribulations, temptations, and all kinds of work, because we are in this world.
Yes.
Do not belong to this world.
Amen.
But if we stay faithful and walk by faith, not by sight, because if we walk by faith, God will lead us and direct our path.
Amen. Oh. Amen. Amen. May I ask you to close us out in prayer before I wrap up?
Sure. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, for today. And thank you, Lord, for my sister, for opening up this podcast to encourage others who are struggling, Lord, whatever they're struggling, Lord. You know what's going on. You are a detail, Lord. And you're going to bless them, Lord, according to your riches of your kingdom, Lord. And they need to know they're not alone, that you are there to come to their rescue, to whatever they're crying out to you, Lord. You're going to be there for them, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, I pray as they seek for answers, Lord, that you will begin to reveal yourself in a divine appointment to each one of them who listening or who don't understand you, Lord. They know that you are there, that you are waiting for them to make a decision, Lord, because we do need to make a decision. And Father, we just thank you that you are mighty God.
Yes.
Thank, patient God. And I thank you, Father. I think that this podcast can reach many, Lord, many.
Yes.
And we trust and know that you do, Lord. You have, this could be your divine appointment. Whoever.
Yes.
This can be your divine appointment. And by faith, and with a mustard seed faith, you can come to the Lord and he will transform your life.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you, my dear sister.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. I love and I appreciate you.
Same here, honey. Thank you so much, sweetheart.
And we thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening to Hope, helping other people evolve through spiritual wellness with hope. As always, I am Hope. I love you. I believe in you. Keep feeding your spirit and have a miraculous day. God bless you. God bless you, my dear sister.
God bless you, honey. Until next time.